wonderful, small, intimate group. Because we want to experience Lasa today. We want to feel the pastimes, and we want to feel what those residents feel. Rasa means that there must be different bhavas. So one of the bhavas is the setting, the right setting. So is the temperature okay in here?
Perfect. Now it is.
It is? Okay, then someone can just... Nirav, can you shut that back door? It's okay. Are you going to hang around here, Nirav?
Yeah.
This will need you for the... Okay. Must be the right setting. There must be the right people. And it must be the right day. As Uddhava said to Krishna, Uddhava is the topmost devotee of Krishna outside of Vrindavan. Because outside of Vrindavan there's a little formality. Because outside of Vrindavan, Krishna begins to manifest his Aishwarya or opulence, and people have to have a little bit of a reverential mood, which is beautiful love. But there's a little something external to Kevalabha. The bhakti in Vrindavan, which is only bhakti. And what is that? A sense of obligation or duty. When someone is superior, there's an obligation of I must, and there's an element of fear if I don't do it. So Uddhava, outside of Vrindavan, he is the topmost devotee of Krishna. It's called a parishad. It's a type of servant who's so intimate, a courier, so close, like a friend, and has so much the mood of Krishna that he actually takes the same form. There's a relationship between your form and your mood. You ever get the blues? You ever become pale with fright? They become red with rage. Anyway, he became blue with love for Krishna. Of course, he was so confidential with Krishna that when Krishna was in Dwarka, he was being heavily criticized because the residents of Vrindavan were in so much separation from Krishna, they were near dying. And people would give these reports. Why do you not go back? Don't want to get too much off the subject, but make a long story short. He went to Vrindavan with a message to the gopis to pacify them, telling him why he can't come back. And when Uddhava came and he saw Mother Yasoda and he saw Nanda Maharaj and saw that since Krishna left they were in a state of depression. Even in Bhava there's a transcendental depression. In your absence the world seems vacant. What is that? When the world seems vacant. So their world had no meaning without Krishna. The pots were still not washed. There were cobwebs. Nanda Maharaj was in the corner weeping and crying. And Uddhava said to Nanda Maharaj, "You're a devotee. I'm not a devotee. I left Krishna. I went to Vrindavan. I'm still functioning. I miss Krishna, but I'm still functioning. What's this here?
It's one of the people in the kitchen.
Okay. I'm still functioning. But you're not functioning. You're a better devotee than me. And you know what Nanda Maharaj said? He said, you are a foolish child. You can call me a devotee. When Ram left home, Dasarath died, his father. I am still living. How can you call me a devotee? Of course, that was the greater devotion. Because it was more painful to live in separation to Krishna than die. Jivatam navahaitum van. You do not deserve to live. Meaning, your death would have been easier than your life in separation from Krishna. And then Uddhava, he went to see and find the gopis. And he saw him in a place in Vrindavan called Uddhava Kadi. Kadi means field, the field of Uddhava. Now there's many places. Vasudev, what time's the RT?
12.
Okay, I'm just... This is like a kind of a, you know, great class, and I got this time, so I can say whatever I want. I can go on. I'm just... So there's a place, Uddhava Kadi. It's an amazing place. And a lot of places in Vrindavan, I had the fortune to go almost before people in our movement went. Because I lived there and I knew different sadhus. And actually, one time I went there and I asked different people, and they said, you know, who of Prabhupada's godbrothers like really has this kind of deep bhava? You know, this deep feeling. And some of them said, Janardhan Maharaj. So we actually came there to Uddhava Kadi. He was sitting there, actually crying and chanting. Why? Because when Uddhava came to that place, Srimati Radharani was in so much separation from Krishna still that when she saw a bumblebee, black bumblebee, when I give this class in Moscow, I break out into Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebees.
Oh, please.
So they saw the black bumblebee. She was in such a mood of intense separation. Actually, in Prema Bhakti, there are different stages. There's 8 stages in prema. And one who is the most advanced is at the highest stage, because there's prema, there's sneha, there's rag, anurag, pranaya, there's bhava in prema, there's mahabhava. Radharani is mahabhava swarup. She's the manifestation of this bhava. And then there's Modanayaka Mahabhav and Madanayaka Mahabhav, and there's Prem Vichitya and Prem Vivarta. And what is Prem Vivarta? The love is so intense. Prema Vivarta, that even when Krishna is not there, you see Krishna. That's how intense. And then there's in the higher stages something called jalpa prati jalpa. You start talking all nonsense out of love. So the bumblebee is there, the black bumblebee. And this is my favorite line in all of the Bhagavatam. Radharani looks at that black bee and says, "You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master." Actually, one time I have a disciple with Kinchana Krishna, and he lives in Vrindavan, and he would serve this old, cranky, elevated soul who cooks in Vrindavan. And he's always kind of has some cranky line. So one day, he walked in to our friend, Bhuvaneshwar, and he looked at him, the Kinchana Krishna, and thinking of me, he said to him, "You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master." So when Uddhava saw this. See, Uddhava was called Bodhisattva. He had the topmost intelligence of any person in the world. He was the greatest scholar. When he used to go back to Vrindavan, after he saw Srimati Radharani's devotion, people used to say, "You're such a learned man." That I thought I was a learned man. But when I saw the devotion of Sri Radha, all my pride was crushed to dust. So her devotion is so exalted. Her devotion is so exalted that when Krishna is not there, she sometimes sees Krishna. After Krishna left, or was unmanifest here, she would sometimes come into a forest of tamal trees. Tamal tree means tamal Krishna. It's a very dark tree. In Vrindavan there are forests of tamal trees paired with kadamba trees. And kadamba trees are Krishna's favorite tree. Why are kadamba trees Krishna's favorite tree? Because they have the color and fragrance of Sri Radha. In Vrindavan, 50 years ago, there would be forests right around Govardhan Hill with kadamba trees and tamal trees. But when Radharani would see a tamal tree, she would grasp it and say, "Now I got you. Let me die. And when I die, let my body be turned to earth in Braj Vrindavan so that your feet will be eternally on my head." Let the water element in my body merge in all the kunds of Vrindavan so I will be constantly immersed in your embrace. Let the wind element in my body merge with the air of Vrindavan So I will eternally caress your body. The wind in Vrindavan is called Vayuna Drishtam. The wind in Vrindavan serves Krishna. It's not just wind. It's not just blowing. It's blowing with an intent. The wind of Vrindavan is absolutely in love with Krishna. So when that wind blows, it's blowing for service. So how does the wind serve Krishna? The wind serves Krishna by taking the fragrances of the flowers and the cool drops of water off of the lake. So when you feel the wind of Vrindavan, you are feeling the prasad of Krishna. Actually, Radhanath Swami yesterday said that I mystically appear at Malhar Kund. It is semi-mystical. I walked there. He didn't know I was coming. But I remember this is exactly what I was speaking about. The wind of Vrindavan. Everything in Vrindavan is serving Krishna. So in that high love of Radharani, that exalted love of Radharani, when Krishna is not there, she sees Krishna. And that was the message Krishna gave with Uddhava to the gopis. I am there in my bhava manifestation. I'm there in my love. We're not separated from Krishna by a physical distance. We're separated from Krishna. We're separated from Krishna by our devotion. And therefore, there's always separation in Vrindavan. And there's always union in Vrindavan. Because even when, the reason why Krishna did not go back to Vrindavan to see Radharani, even though she was dying in separation, although he's dying in separation, the reason he didn't come back is because it would take a long while for her to convalesce, because she was in such a deep state of separation. So you'd have to stay there, you'd have to be with her. Radha, I'm here. Radha, I'm here. And it would go on for months and months. And then at a particular level, he felt she would be like half getting out of her state of separation. And then would look at Krishna and think, you may leave again. But she would go into a worse state. So he didn't come back. There's many reasons. But also that bhava. And the other type of love, which is even more intense, even when Krishna is there, this is prema by chitya, even when Krishna is there, she doesn't see Krishna sometimes out of love. And this is a famous story. You see, Radha and Krishna, this is a very intimate group, so I can tell you, it's parakīya rās. Is swakīya rās, that means the relationship with your own, and parakīya, para means other. Externally, it appears they're not married, but the risk is greater. So they have to make arrangements where they'll meet. Even sometimes, you know what Radharani's friends do? This is the origin of the Olympics. They take her at night and they train her how to walk at night. And if it's a new moon, she'll wear a white sari for camouflage. And if it's a dark moon, she'll wear a dark sari. And they'll have a little pit, and they'll throw water in there, and thorns, and she'll have to practice. It's called Abhisar, how to meet. And then her assistant is Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi is the goddess of Vrindavan. She makes all the settings of Vrindavan. Vrindadevi. All the settings of Vrindavan she makes. And she has 40,000 parrot disciples. And the parrot disciples go all over Vrindavan as spies. And they go back to make these meetings. So one time, if you go to Vrindavan, there's one hill, Brahma Parvat, the hill of Lord Brahma with four hills, and Radharani's palace is there. And you go about 3 or 4 miles down the road, then there's the other hill, which is Nandivan. So you know how they would meet sometimes at night? It's the origin of Morse code. It's actually called Mohan code. And the way it's done, this Morse code and this Mohan code, is they put a candle on the top of one palace and a candle on the other. And on a clear night, you can see it. So then, they take their hands and go dot, dash, dash, dot, dash, dash, dot, meet me at 1 o'clock in the morning at Sun Cape. All is go, I will be there. And then they meet at this place, Sun Cape, which is right in between. And this is actually sometimes said to be the last pastime of Krishna before he left Vrindavan. Because what happened there? Very confidential. Radharani was sitting on Krishna's lap. She was sitting on Krishna's lap. And he was with just, he has different types, Krishna has different types of friends. There are also different types of gopis. There's Priyasakhi, there's Pransakhi, there's Paramapreshtasakhi. There's some that are more for Krishna, some that are more for Radha, some that are equal. And then there's friends. And the topmost friend is called Priya Narma Sakha. Narma means like joking. Priya means very dear. These joking friends. And the joking friends can have a little assistance. This is very intimate when Radha and Krishna get together. So they're in a very intimate moment. And then a bee came. I'm not going to break into my Rimsky Korsakov Flight of the Bumblebee again. The bee came. So Krishna said to the bee, said to his friend, who is named Madhu Mangal. He's a Brahmin friend, famous for his consumption of ladus. He said, get rid of the bee. So he took off his dupatta, sometimes called dupatta, and he chased the bee. And he chased the bee. And he chased the bee. And then his mission was completed. And what did he say? Madhu is gone. Because in Sanskrit, Madhu is honey and Madhu is bee. But Madhu is also Krishna's name, short for Madhu. Madhu is gone. Now, Radharani is in the highest love. It's the most emotional state. It's rasa. And what rasa means is when you are absolutely consumed in a particular feeling. Right? All art is communicating that. Right? Music or anything. You want to put people in the mood of the composition, whether it's romance, whether it's tragedy, whether it's chivalry. So the rasa she's in, she is that Shakti, she is that rasa, and she's at the highest state of this bhava. And what happens when you're at a state of intense emotion, then anything in relationship to that emotion is extremely stimulating. You ever see when someone's missed a loved one? You ever fear the loss of a loved one? A loved one? Then anything in relationship to that will have a devastating effect. Just like one day after Krishna left, Sri Radha, trying to find some solace, went to the bank of the Jamuna. And what did she see at the bank of the Jamuna? She saw a forest cottage. They're called kunjas, forest bowers. Now you see this in Vrindavan. A tree will form a manda, just like we chanted yesterday. Ashoka Viksha Valari Vatana Manda Pastate Pavala Pala Palava. Ashoka, Vriksha, Valari, the Ashok trees, Vriksha, it's a tree, Ashoka, Vriksha, Valari, Batan, Mandap, it creates a little house. So she saw that house, and she fainted. And they thought she was near dead. And then Lalita, her friend, who was in ecstatic state, but also in that separation, and she loved Radharani, and she went to the water. That's another story. That's a book written by Rupa Goswami called Hamsadutta. Because when Lalita goes, she sees a swan, and she's in that ecstatic state. So she sees a swan on the river. And the river goes from Vrindavan to Mathura. And Krishna had left to Mathura. So looks at the swan and says, please give a message for Krishna. And tell Krishna. Then you know that small Malati Kripa on that young mango sapling. That mango sapling is now a luscious tree. And that kripa is growing with beautiful flowers. And you remember that little calf that Krishna used to have? Now she has huge milk bags with milk dripping from it. So it's a whole story of separation. But Radharani is so sensitive. So when she heard Madhu is gone, she took it to meet Krishna. She was sitting on Krishna's lap. And she began to weep uncontrollably. Where is my Krishna? Krishna, Krishna, where is my Krishna? Krishna was there. Two types of illusion. One illusion is you see something that's not there. Isn't it nice that Lakshmi arranged for a live elephant from the circus to come and stay before the deities? That's one illusion. You don't see what's there. And another illusion is not to see what is there. So Radharani grabs the tree. She's seeing what's not there. Krishna, Krishna, I got you. Krishna's not there. And the other type of illusion is she's not seeing what's there. Krishna's there. She's on Krishna's lap. And when Krishna sees the depth of his love, her love, he begins to cry. This year on our level 2 parikrama, Kasuba just told me that that lady from Pittsburgh and her husband, Joe, remember, she's coming on the tour too. So he begins to cry. And then Krishna has a realization about separation. In the love of separation, the object that is before you now enters into your heart. So these are descriptions of this Mahabhav Sarup. There's one level of love that is called Sneha Prema. Prema means that, there's Prema, then Sneha, I think it's Anurag, but there's one stage of love that in separation from your beloved, in separation from your beloved, the greatest pleasure becomes the most intense pain. And in union with your beloved, the greatest pain becomes the greatest happiness. So Sri Radha would exhibit this actually. Because she lived in a place called Javad. There's a geography of Vrindavan, you can see it to this day. There's Nandagram. It's in the middle. That's where Krishna lives. So all the activities come from Nandagram. Cows go every day out to tear Kadamba. You know, where Krishna would herd the cows on Gopastami, which celebrates the first day that Krishna took out the cows. To this day, in Vrindavan, all the cow herd men of Vrindavan bring their cows there. So Nandagram is there, then Barsana is there, and when Radharani gets married, she goes to Javad. So in Javad, she's in a lot of separation from Krishna. And sometimes the separation is so intense that her sakis, her girlfriends, they get these cool lotus flowers. They look cool of water. Cool lotus flowers. Then they put 1 foot of sandalwood paste, which is real cool. And then they put lotus flowers. And then they put sandalwood paste. then lotus flowers. And Radharani sits on there, and she's feeling the burning of separation. Because out of love, in separation, what is that verse? A moment seems like 12 years or more. But every day, Radharani goes to walks to cook for Krishna, because Radharani got a benediction from Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni is a very renounced sage. The problem with dry renunciation, it can make someone angry. So he gets insulted often. So people are afraid of him. But somehow he gave Radharani the benediction that whatever she cooks, whoever eats that, will be healthy, prosperous, and long-lived. So somehow, Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda had some pressure that would cook for Krishna. So she would come every day with her friends. Every day. And they'd walk. Put the butter on their heads. They want a carrier pot now. Anybody want a carrier pot? Okay, we have a gopi in the back. She would take off her ornaments. That's called alankar. Now, her ornaments are very special. Her gold decorations and her anklets and her bracelets and her belt and the cords on her hair. They're very special because they're not different from her. Because if you understand what is Radharani, there's this Shakti. And as Radhanath Swami explained yesterday, you can't separate it from Krishna. Krishna without Radharani, Krishna without Radharani is like a flower without its fragrance, a flower without its color, a flower without its shape. She's the Shakti. And what is that Shakti? It's called Ladini Shakti. It's the pleasure potency. But sometimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says it's the pleasure potency, but it's also the Purna Shakti. There's three Shaktis, chief Shaktis. There is the Sambit Shakti, the Sandini Shakti, the existential Shakti, the potency by which things exist. There's the Sambit Shakti, the potency by which things, according to Krishna, can be known. And there's the Ladini Shakti. There is the pleasure potency by which things can have pleasure. The essence of the pleasure potency is Krishna Prema, love of Krishna. There's a beautiful concept. There's a reality, and there is a love of reality. So love is the existential reality, actually. Reality is pleasure. Therefore, in the Upanishads, it says, rasa vai saha. That reality is rasa. The beautiful concept. That one harmonious whole has distinction for the purpose of pleasure, which is love. And therefore there must be beauty, personality, activities in that absolute reality. But it does not belie its non-duality. And the example is simple. There's a body here, right? And if you point to this, what is that? That's hand. That's my hand. What is this? This is my... What is this? This is your body. What is this? This is your body. What is this? It's your... Everything's the body, but the hand and the... It's not the nose. The absolute reality has inconceivable potencies. Parasya shaktaya vividaya shuryate. It has potencies. What? For the purpose of love. We look in this world... The guiding principle is love. So that exists here. Why should it not exist in its source, in its perfect sense? So rasa vai saha. Rasa vai saha. It exists there in its perfect sense. So, Radharani is that Shakti, Mahabhav, when that Krishna prema, what is it? That sense of love. We know what it is in a seed form. Imagine it in its unlimited potency. What is that sense? What does it feel like? That's what Radharani is. Love. Love of what? The highest love. It's love of everything because it is the Purna Shakti. Love of everything, personified. And as we explained yesterday, love means to offer the best. This world is just a reflection of perfection. It's a perversion or reflection. Sometimes described like a banyan tree in a river, a lake. It's reflected. The only thing is upside down. So this world is a reflection. It's upside down. And what is that? We do everything beautiful. We gave an example, people, perfume industry. People put on perfume and people put on clothes. And why? So that other people will give them pleasure. That's advertising. You can get more pleasure if you make yourself more beautiful and if you have a better fragrance. People will be attracted to you. So that's a reflection of love. And what is love? I will have a fragrance to please others. I will dress to please others. Out of love. So that's Radharani. So her ornament is that potency. Krishna, I love you. Isn't this beautiful? I hope this pleases you. And her qualities are the perfection. And sometimes they're described in a way. Before that, how's the setting in here? Is everybody comfortable?
Getting a little warm and stuffy.
Warm. Air conditioner.
Okay, just turn it up a little bit. Okay? You know how beautiful Radharani's eyes are? Radharani's eyes are always moving. And you know how beautiful they are? This is the perfection This is the perfection of the eyes. See how beautiful they are? Rupa Goswami describes Radharani's eyes. It says her eyes forcibly devour the beauty of a blue lotus. And how beautiful her face is. It surpasses the beauty of a forest of blue lotuses. Srimati Radharani is a scholar in the art of garland making. Now, I was in Vrindavan when hardly any devotees were there. We couldn't fill up the guest house. We had to take out advertisements and billboards at the train station, "Someone please come to Vrindavan." Now there's 100 times more places and you can't get a room. So what happens? Prabhupada came out of his room in the morning. And about 3 people greeted him. And Prabhupada said, "Where is everyone?" They said, "They're serving." Prabhupada said, "Wake them up." And then Prabhupada, I was there, he walked to the front of the temple where they were doing construction. They had huts, and I remember them. Can you imagine Prabhupada coming and walk up to the devotee? And he's like, "Focus your consciousness in there, it's Prabhupada." And then Prabhupada walked right out the front gate and went to the Taparia house, which is where the Goshala is, where all the married people are living. And Prabhupada's coming there sweeping and they're cleaning. But I remember one time Prabhupada came out of his house and someone offered Prabhupada a garland. Now in Vrindavan there are these white flowers that grow that are abundant, but they have no fragrance. And the simplest garland that is made is you just put the thread through the stem and connect them together. They offer this garland to Prabhupada, and the petals were a little brown and wilted. And they purchased it outside.
Oh.
So when they gave that garland to Prabhupada, his lips curled in distaste. And why did his lips curl in distaste? Because he's guru. And what is he trying to teach? Bhakti. And what does bhakti mean? Bhakti means you offer the best. Out of love. That's why home cooking, when done properly, you cannot compare restaurant cooking. Because one is a sensual experience, the other is an emotional experience. And there's more pleasure in the emotional experience if it's cooked. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the story of Chaitanya, there's a lot of food pastimes. They have like 100 verses describing all the varieties of food that is made. So if you look at it, you say, how is this spiritual? You know, the 25 different types of pickles, And the, you know, the how is it spiritual? And then you understand, because it is love. The fragrance, it's made fragrance. Why? To give you pleasure. It's colorful. Why? To give you pleasure. It has the right texture. Why? To give you pleasure. So when Prabhupada got that, he curled in his taste. What kind of love is that? So at that time, if Prabhupada was expert in everything, I think he called the ladies into his room and showed them how to make garlands. And if you go to the Krishna Balaram Mandir and you see those 35 ladies on the side making hundreds of beautiful, intricate garlands. And I was thinking, you know, in New York, you can practically get anything. But one thing you can only get at the Radha Govinda Mandir, and now at the Radha Murali Mandir, is a beautiful garland. And when you give that garland to someone, amazing. One time I had a student that was a secretary at an advertising company. And it was the Friday dress down day. So she told them, my teacher is coming. It was New York, so it was an amazing experience. Everybody came out of their offices to meet me. And then they introduced me to the production manager, one lady, and I gave her the garland. She went, oh, beauty. So Radharani is a scholar in making garlands. Why? Love is the best teacher. The best mother is not the PhD in child education. Best mother is the mother who loves, and then she knows what to do. So when Radharani comes to cook for Krishna, she takes off her ornaments. But more beautiful than her alankar is her avaram. She has the different markings. The red, the bindi dot, and the little drawings at a sandalwood paste. It's all love of Krishna. And then she comes to the kitchen, and there's 100 clay stoves. You know how hot it can be in Vrindavan in the summer? 115. Ripley's Guinness Book of World Records, or it's either Ripley's Believe It or Not. You look at it. The highest recorded temperature in an inhabitable place registered on Earth in history. Govardhan Hill. Which is in Vrindavan. And why? Why? Because it's like a desert, and then there's a big mountain. So the mountain is like kind of like an organic heater. It captures all the heat. Now, only out of love will someone live next to that in the summer. So Radharani's cooking, there are 100 clay stoves. And she's cooking. And they have all the preparations ready when she comes in. Because she has so much love, a good cook can do this. They don't need to measure with a quarter teaspoon of salt. It's kind of like, it's not like shooting dice, but it's kind of
just intuitive.
It's kind of, you know, you put that spice in. And then, whatever she cooks, it's like nectar. And she goes to each thing. They prepare the ingredients. She's the most expert cook. What a wonderful cook. And those preparations, in my mind, I still remember in my history in India, the three or four most loving preparations I've ever tasted. One saintly old lady in South India, cooking for her deities, gave me some spiced rice. It almost had these, I remember these granules of sugar stayed whole in the rice with the spices. But 100 stoves, 115 degrees in prema bhakti, in the association of the object of your love, it feels like it's air conditioning. Because that's prema. In union, the greatest distress seems like the greatest happiness. I've had personal experience of performing some austerities for my teacher, where I had to travel on an Indian bus. I remember one time to meet the principal of the Indian Military Academy. Well, I met him, and then he joined the ashram. And I came back from this successful thing on behalf of my teacher, and I was on a 12-hour bus from Derdu, and I was sitting in the back of the bus. You haven't seen me since they check things at the airport. My religious staff that I got when I took like a month is holding it, and I was squished in between so many people in the back of this dirty bus, and the man sitting next to me was calling with tuberculosis, 80 years old, and I was in that bus on a long ride, and I was feeling ecstasy because of the union, the pleasure. So that's why I'm on this rainbow. That's her love. And she exemplifies it, this Maha Bhav Saru. We said it yesterday, but it's also such a nice example of that. When it's described in Ujjvalandilamani Radharani's fragrance. The supreme fragrance. It's a principle in the world. It's attractive. But her fragrance is just manifest from her body because she is Anaya Radhito Nunam. Bhagavan, there's no one else that can. She's the principle of love. And therefore, she's the principle of all qualities to please. And her qualities are only for the pleasure of her beloved. So, what is that fragrance like? And that described the forest of magnolias. Radharani's hiding from Krishna. Krishna's walking 100 yards away. Where is Radha? And then he goes, Radha Swami is so much more expert than me at making sounds. It's the wrong sound. Sniffing. Oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So, despite Gail's heavy request that I don't do any bhajans and only speak philosophy, I think what we'll do now, there's still so much to cover, because actually that was just the introduction. I didn't even start my lecture yet. I'm spoiled. I wanted to say, you see that Muninda Vinda Vandate Trivoka Shokaharani Pasana Vakka Panka Jaina Kunja Bhuba Vasini Vajendra Vajendra Manu Nandini Vajendra Surga Sangate Kadaka Rishi Silamanda Pada Kachala Muninda Vinda Vandate. She's praying our line, our teachers. Without Radha, how can you understand Krishna? Because a person is only manifest in love. Think of yourself. How many people actually know you? Where do you manifest and give yourself fully? It's only into someone who has loved you by and won your trust by a manifestation of service. Therefore, that example that was given yesterday, I read it for the first time. I think I was reading a lecture, and I'm not even sure who the lecture was from. But I had these notes, and I was reading the lecture, and it was describing why, if you actually want to deeply understand the secrets of bhakti at Srimati Radharani, you have to serve. You have to surrender. You have to take shelter. You have to give yourself. And the example was, you may get a job as a servant of a very rich man. He does not give you the keys to every room. And that's relationship, actually, with teacher. The deeper the realizations, the more qualified you have to be able to assimilate and understand that. So everything in bhakti is actually given in relationship. Tesham satatiyodhanam vajitam priti purvakam vidami buddhiyogata. For one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge. This is bhakti. Ramnath Swami gave the example this morning. We had Bhagavatam class here this morning. He told this story of in Radhakut, these young boys just torturing a jackal, beating a jackal, and then put the jackal in a hole, and then put some straw in the hole, and then lit a fire. And the jackal was just, and Radhanath Swami was explaining, like the jackal is, even the other animals don't like jackals. And he gave the example that Radharani heard. And she sent Lalita, chased the boys around, you know, and then the jackal came out. The jackal was completely dependent. They brought to Radharani and she saw it. Completely dependent. Taking shelter fully. Radharani gave her everything. That's bhakti. That's bhakti. So, you don't get all the keys unless you win trust. How do you win trust? By love. And how does one understand love? By your service. You give yourself in service. And then more and more and more is given. So it's like that in a way. But on these days, there's a special potency that so many things can be said. But I was thinking in our line, even Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, Krishna is only a decoration for us. Only a decoration. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the father and guru of Prabhupada's guru, they asked him a question, his disciples. If there was any place in the world that you would take to do your bhajan or intimate worship, where would it be? So he said, Kurukshetra. Now what happened on Kurukshetra? It's the battle of Kurukshetra. Right? So that's not the most intimate side of Krishna. It's kind of nice. It's wonderful. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bharati bharata. Whenever and wherever there's discrepancy of religion, I come. Is that Kurukshetra? I went to that place where the Bhagavad Gita was spoken called Jyotisam. We recited the whole Bhagavad Gita. But there's another place. in Kurukshetra called Rama Sarovara. This is the most beautiful lake I've ever seen. It's 3 miles long, 2 miles across, and it has these ghats that are so beautiful. And it has one ghat for the ladies, where very large, many steps, where it's completely covered in sandstone. So the ladies enter into a very private place for their bathing, and the water is crystal clear. Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre Samavata. The Bhagavad Gita begins. Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yutsava. In this holy place. Because of this Brahma Sarovara. It's a very, very holy place. It's time immemorial. But what happened at that place? Well, there was a solar eclipse. And when you're in India, it's a whole different psychology. It's considered very inauspicious. Right? The sun is covered. It's very inauspicious. And when that happens in India, no one will be outside. Even the temple, if it was just in India during a solar eclipse, completely shut. Not even cooking going on. Any food that's cooked or out at that time is thrown away. Any clothes in the half. So you get like, it's almost like I'm from New York. What's a solar eclipse? All of a sudden, I'm in my room afraid to go out in the solar eclipse. If there's some rays that hit me, I'll be inauspicious. Either that or you go to the holy river. And you sit with the whole, I did that once, you sit in the Jamuna with the whole Vrindavan chanting the holy names, then it becomes auspicious. So the residents of Vrindavan decided to go to Kurukshetra at Brahma Sarovara. And the residents of Dwarka decided to go to Kurukshetra. And Madharani met Krishna. After 96 years, they're Novi over, they're still the same 15-year-old life. And they meet, and Krishna is there. But it's not Krishna. There's one God. When God is fully manifest, when his personality, his supreme personality, his madhurya, his sweetness, his friendship, his romance, his parental and childlike affection is not covered by position. When it's not covered, that's Krishna. As soon as Krishna steps out as Vrindavan, it's not really Krishna. It's the same person, but Krishna refers to that person, refers to that absolute reality, Akhila Rasamrita Murti, when he's fully manifest in love. So she sees Krishna, but it's not Krishna. Why? Rajavesh, he's a king. And he's surrounded by all the trumpets. Long live the king. Rum, bum, 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 bum. Long live the king. And Krishna is sitting there. But where is her lover? Her lover's not going to manifest in the formal setting where he's the king. So Radharani has to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. That's the Ravyatra festival. Those are the deities. They're very intimate. Taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. And what does Radharani say to Krishna? It is the same moonlight night of the month of Chaitra. The same malati breezes are blowing in the air. But I am not happy here. I want you back in Vrindavan in the days of my youth on the bank of the Jamuna, where you can reveal your romantic, loving side. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, that's Krishna, wanting to relish the mood of his topmost devotee. And he showed us how you do it. What is our practice? He showed it. He showed us. This is how you do it. You sit and you absorb yourself chanting Hare Krishna with a sambandha. With a sambandha or relationship to the name, which is nourished by hearing these stories that exemplify that love, and the songs that exemplify that love. And by remembering those stories. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted this love, what did he do? What love did he want? He wanted the topmost experience of love. The love of the topmost devotee, Sri Radha. And when? At the height of her love. Which is what? The moments of her separation. One of the pastimes was this Kurukshetra. The mood of separation. Another pastime he used to remember is when Akrura was sent by Kamsa to get Krishna to take him to Vrindavan. And then when Radharani and the gopis heard, now Krishna will leave, they felt so much separation that when Akura got Krishna on the chariot, they threw themselves in front of the horses. They climbed on, grabbing the reins. And there were three stages of separation. The first stage of separation is when the person is going. He's still there, but you hear, he's going. She's going. It's separation. Then when they actually get in the car, and the wheels are going, and then they're gone. With the bleachers there, going, going, going. Going, going, going. And the most intense is what? The going, going. The wheels, when that chariot was. What did Radha feel like? What was the extent of her love? That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to experience. Nirav, can you do one favor? Go to 5E, my room, and get me my briefcase. Or you could open it, and there's a brown manila folder, and I have some song sheets with which I'll finish. Okay, you'll see it's right next to the bed, the briefcase. So when they asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where would you like to do your bhajan? He said, Kurukshetra. Why? And they said, why? He said, because we are Radhika Dasya. And that was her greatest moment of need. So that's our mood. Radharani, she has the full capacity to serve. And therefore, she moves towards Krishna. When you have she has the fullest capacity to serve. And therefore, she has a competitor. There's 108 chief gopis, and then of those gopis, there are 10 that are most confidential. Of those, there's two. There's Radha and Chandramani. And Radha competes with Chandramani for Krishna. But why does Radha compete? Only because she can give Krishna more pleasure. If Chandravali could give more pleasure, then she would serve. Now, I'd like to tell the story. We'll do the kirtan in the end. How, where Radha's name comes from. One time, Satyaraj, who sometimes comes here, he wrote one question to one scholar in Vrindavan who I was really knew well. Actually, this sadhu took me to places in Vrindavan. Practically before anybody saw them. I mean, there's places that are accessible now that used to be half underwater. And you had to walk through the water and there were thorns. You had to walk through there. So he wrote them this question. Why is Radha's name not mentioned in the Bhagavad? Beautiful. Because Buddha Sukadev, who spoke the Bhagavad, it's Radha's parent. And out of that love, she couldn't hear Radha's name. But it's beautiful. What happens is the gopis performed a vrata when they were young to get Krishna as their husband. And now Krishna wanted to fulfill their desire. And the setting became inspirational. The full moon began to rise with a reddish hue. And the blossoming of the jasmine flowers started to grow. And it was just like in India when a husband went on a long journey and came home to greet the wife. She would decorate her body with kumkum, creating even more inspiration for their union. So Krishna began to blow his flute. And Krishna blowing his flute is a beautiful manifestation of the absolute reality that our God he can express his love from my heart. Narayan, who's also God, it's a different manifestation of Krishna, more formally doesn't play his flute. Krishna has four qualities that demonstrate the full manifestation of the personality of Godhead that no other manifestation has. He is Rupa Madhurya, because in intimacy and love, Krishna is the most beautiful. He is Prema Madhurya. He has a variety of loving relationships where normally God just has one, which is reverence and prayer, which is a beautiful thing, and distance. It's a type of love that's such a beautiful thing. Just like yesterday, some of the prayers were chanted in that mood. Om Param Param. Very beautiful. So that is Rupa. That is Prema Madhurya. And then there is varieties of love. Akila Rasa And then there's Lila Madhurya. Because there's Raya's relationship, there's so many pastimes. Intimate, like the Rasa Lila. And then there's Venu Madhurya. He plays the flute. Why does he play the flute? Because it amplifies his heart. And intimacy, you don't mind doing that. So he manifests his heart. And when Krishna plays his flute, it's so beautiful that when he's walking in Vrindavan playing his flute, it's accompanied by a symphony of birds. And he's blowing his flute. And not only that, the flute expresses individual love to the people that hear it. So now, when I tell this story, concentrate on the pure, loving heart of the gopis. As an ultimate reality, that the ultimate reality is hearts becoming overwhelmed with love and attention and absorption. They love Krishna so much. In fact, one time Radharani wanted to commit suicide because she felt she was attracted to three lovers simultaneously at the same time. You see, she had a picture in her house, someone addressed, because Chitradevi, one of the gopis, they're expansions of Radharani and they're expansions of her qualities. So one of the gopis, she drew a picture of Krishna. And when Radharani said, I am completely in love with that person, this is called Purvarag. Purvarag means the feelings before meeting. It's one of the pragnas. You haven't even met yet. Purvarag. She had that picture. And then she heard a kirtan. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. She heard the kirtan. When she heard the kirtan, she said, I'm completely attracted to that person who has the name Krishna. And then one day, she heard the flute. She said, I don't know who that musician is, but he has so much in his heart. I'm completely attached to that person. And now I want to die because I'm simultaneously attached to three lovers who are pulling my heart. So when that flute was blown, each gopi heard it as the object of her complete attachment and love of God. Roaring her for intimate union. And when they had that feeling, with that atmosphere of the moon and the red kumkum sky and the breezes blowing in the air, when they had that sense, they immediately left everything. One gopi was milking the cows. She just immediately left. Another one was boiling milk on the stove. She immediately left. Another one was feeding her baby and put it down on the ground. And then they started to run and try to get dressed. And one gopi, and I don't know what it looks like, and I don't want to think about it either, but it's there in the Shastra. She put the top part on the bottom part on the top. And they all ran towards Krishna in the middle of the night. Sometimes when Krishna would come home from the forest, first they would see the padaduli, the dust of Vrindavan as all the cows would come. And then they would hear his flute. And then they would finally see his form. And they would leave their husbands. And their husbands say, where are you going? They would say, try to stop me, I'll kill you. But they were chase girls. You know how you can tell they were chase girls? They went in groups. They didn't go alone. They went in groups. They were chase girls. They were drawn by Krishna. So when they heard it, they all left everything. This is why, actually, when I took the vows of what's called sannyas, it's supposed to be complete renunciation, right? And you get a special mantra from your sannyas guru. And the mantra is the Gopi Baba mantra. Now, why do you get the Gopi Baba mantra? Because who are the greatest renunciates? The Gopis left everything. It was amazing. I don't know where I found it, but I found a trunk in Vrindavan. Actually, a friend of mine found it. There was a secret compartment in Radha Damodar. I can show you if you go there. It was in the ceiling, like, I think some. And it was Prabhupada's trunk. And we saw the handwritten mantra, the Gopi Baba mantra that Prabhupada Sannyas Guru gave them. So they left immediately, in the middle of the night. And it's a very, very deep story, so you can't say. So different gopis came from different places. And some gopis, they came from this world and they came to the planet where Krishna is doing his pastimes. And they were not yet ready and their husband stopped them. And the separation purified them of every obstacle to that union. So when they ran to Krishna, and Krishna saw them, now imagine what their hearts are beating and they're beating. And they're coming to their lover, Krishna. Their hearts. And they come and they've left everything. And they finally overcome all obstacles. They're ready. I'm leaving everything and I'm going to Krishna. And somehow that inspiration came. It was like, not like the gopis, but when I first came, there was obstacles. And the movement was different in those days. There was a line. You were in, you were out. And in that, right in the ashram, and out, there's no congregation. No congregational preaching. You're in or you're out. So I decided it was out. It was like 3-4 years, and I still hadn't made it, you know. Then my Prabhupada gave me that maskula from his own hands, and I bit into it. I just immediately, everything was gone. And then when you finally get that sense, I can. So they're there, they gave up everything, and now they're surrendering fully to Krishna because they're at that level. And then Krishna greets them and said, good evening. Please have a seat. Very nice to see you here today. Whoa. And they were smiling a bit. Hearts were churning, and then Krishna said, did they get revenge? Radharani has a toy lotus. And sometimes when she gets Krishna, she just spins the lotus. And like, that's it. This is what I'm doing to your heart. So what happens is, then Krishna says, oh, it's not, you shouldn't have come here at this time. Then Krishna looks at them and says, Sumadhyamana. Of course, when these pastimes are described, then Krishna had this desire to be the gopis. The word was used, Bhagavan Abhi. This is Bhagavan. He's filled with all opulence. It's not just some lusty desire. This is Leela. This is the absolute reality, exchanging love. It's play. Yoga Maya, it's the internal potency. So what happens is, he says, Sumadhyamana, you're very young, you're very beautiful, you have thin waists. Go back to your parents. not going to get into the story, but when I was kidnapped by the deprogrammers in the early days, and I escaped, and then the New York City police came, two of my parents were there. It was a whole thing, and, you know, and then my parents couldn't keep me. My parents couldn't keep me unless I was committed to a mental hospital, then a psychiatrist had to determine what my health was. He thought I was great. That's another story. But I remember I was sitting in the back of the car with a police car with a fat Irish cop. And he was looking at me and he was saying, "Why don't you go home to your parents?" You should go home. And then he started to preach to them about the chastity of women and so many principles. He started to preach to them, explain responsibility and dharma and so many different points. Plus, it's so dangerous in the forest. So when he started talking like this way, they started like their feet in the sand, kind of like nervous. And then they started kind of looking around shyly, and then Krishna said, "Wow, you've come and you've had a nice sight, you've seen the forest, now that you've seen everything, just go home." Then they became so, they loved Krishna, but they became so upset. They said, "You are so cruel. When someone surrenders to Narayan fully, he gives them full shelter. But what do you mean, go back to your husband? You are the soul of everything. We're not unchaste. We're surrendering to the soul of even our husbands." And anyway, our legs are paralyzed and we can't even move. And we've taken full shelter of you. How can you be so cruel? And then Krishna takes them and they start to walk hand in hand with all the gopis on the bank of the Jamuna. And this goes on for a while, and then the gopis and Krishna disappears. How do they feel? They went mad with love. And they began to search out Krishna everywhere. And they started to look at all the banyan trees. "Have you seen Krishna?" They look at the earth, they see the grass, your hands are standing on end. The lotus feet of Krishna must have come here. And then they see a doe staring at them. They said, "You must have tasted the fragrance of Krishna, and therefore you feel sympathetic to us, and you're looking, where is Krishna?" And then in madness, they began to imitate the pastimes of Krishna. One lady throws her sari over her head, puts up her finger and says, "I am lifting Govardhan Hill!" And they start doing all the pastimes of Krishna. And they're doing kirtan. And they're chanting, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" What is their hearts feeling like? And then what happens? They smell the fragrance of a garland that's smeared with the kumkum from the and then what he does? They see two sets of footprints, not one. They see Krishna's footprints and they see another pair of footprints. And then one gopi says to another, "Anaya radito nunamba." You know of it, Hayya Govinda. There is no other gopi who worship Krishna so much. Because although Krishna was in the midst of all the gopis who he said he cannot repay for their love, without Radha, who left the residence because she wanted everything, could not join. So how qualified was she? And there will be Arti coming, but I was thinking, how am I going to speak for 2 hours? But now I realize it really is just beginning, because then the Rasa dance begins. First of all, Krishna left Radharani, and then they began searching for Radharani, Krishna doing kirtan, then they attracted Krishna, and then the Rasa dance begins, and there's such incredible music for the setting. You love this. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, every species of life has a melody.
What?
Every species of life has a melody. And he gives an example. The elephant. The cricket. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Everyone has a melody. And then he goes further and he says, every living entity has a melody. So the music and the dance and Radharani singing, Krishna's playing his flute, and the flute gets higher and higher and higher, and then Radharani sings higher and higher and higher and higher and higher than the flute, and everyone is cheering her singing. And then there's dance, and Krishna looks at Radharani's face and then gives mudra, your face is like the moon, and he points to his heart. He said, my heart are at your feet, and there's incredible dancing. But Aniya Radito Nuna Bhagavan Harir Noah. She is the pinnacle of love, and therefore the pinnacle of beauty. So this is the second national anthem of Vrindavan, and we should chant this song on this day. So if you people just help me just pass them out quickly. We have quite a few of them. I don't think there'll be any problems. Everyone get a lesson. Okay, drum. Sorry, some park towns maybe? Okay, we'll start from what says 2. Okay, and the refrain is... The refrain we'll do is, we'll do 1 first.
Shama Gauri Nitya Kishore. Thank you.
Yeah.